Chapter 2. We set off a week later. Zira came with us, but she was to return after a few days to look after the institute in Cornelius's absence. The latter intended staying much longer on the site of the excavations if these proved to be as interesting as he expected. A special plane had been put at our disposal. A jet machine, rather like our first models of this type of aircraft, but very comfortable and equipped with a little soundproof compartment in which we could converse without effort. It was here we were sitting, Zira and I, shortly after our departure. I was looking forward to the journey. By now I was completely accustomed to the simian world. I had been neither surprised nor frightened to see this big aircraft being piloted by a monkey. My only thought was to enjoy the view and the spectacular sight of Betelgeuse rising. We had climbed to a height of about 30,000 feet. The air was remarkably pure, and the giant star could be seen on the horizon, like our own sun, observed through a telescope. Zira was enchanted by it. "Are there such beautiful dawns as this on Earth?" she asked. "Is your sun as lovely as ours?" I told her it was less big and less red, but it was sufficient for our ambitions. On the other hand, our nocturnal heavenly body was bigger and shed a more intense pale light than Soror's. We felt as happy as schoolchildren on holiday, and I laughed and joked with her, as with a very close friend. When Cornelius came and joined us after a moment, I almost resented his intrusion on our tête-à-tête. He was pensive. For some time, moreover, he had seemed rather nervous. He worked enormously, pursuing his personal research, which absorbed him to the point of occasionally causing him fits of total absent-mindedness. He still kept the subject of this task a secret, and I believe Zira knew as little about it as I did. I only knew that it concerned the origin of monkey, and that the learned chimpanzee tended more and more to reject the classical theories. This morning, for the first time, he revealed certain aspects of it to me, and it did not take me long to understand why my existence as a civilized man was so important to him. He began by reverting to a subject we had discussed together 1,000 times. "You did say, didn't you, Ulysse, that on your Earth the monkeys are absolute animals, that man has risen to a degree of civilization equal to our own, and which, in certain respects, even..." "Don't be frightened of making me angry. The scientific spirit ignores all self-esteem." "Which, in many respects, even surpasses it. Yes, that's undeniable. One of the best proofs is that I am here. It seems to me you have only reached the stage..." I know, he broke in wearily. "We've discussed all that. We are now penetrating the secrets that you discovered centuries ago, and it's not only your assertions that disturb me," he went on, nervously pacing up and down the little cabin. "For some time I've been harassed by a feeling supported by certain concrete indications, that the key to these secrets, even here on our planet, has been possessed by other brains in the distant past." I might have replied that this impression of rediscovery had also affected certain minds on Earth. Perhaps it even prevailed universally, and maybe served as the basis for our belief in God. But I was careful not to interrupt him. He was following a train of thought that was still confused, which he expressed in an extremely reticent manner. "Other brains," he repeated pensively, "which maybe were not..." He broke off abruptly. He looked miserable, as though tortured by the perception of a truth which his mind was unwilling to admit. "You did say, didn't you, that your monkeys possess a highly developed sense of mimicry? They mimic us in everything we do. I mean, in every act that does not demand a rational process of thought. So much so that the verb ape is synonymous to us with imitate." "Zira," Cornelius muttered, as though deeply afflicted, "is it not this sense of aping that characterizes us as well?" Without giving Zira time to protest, he went on excitedly, It begins at childhood. All our education is based on imitation. It's the orangutans. That's it. They have a capital importance, since it is they who mold our youth by means of their books. They force every young monkey to repeat all the errors of his ancestors. That explains the slowness of our progress. For the last 2,000 years, we have remained similar to ourselves. This slow development among the monkeys deserves a few comments. I had been struck by it while reading their history, noticing in it some important differences from the soaring flight of the human mind. True, we have likewise known a period of semi-stagnation. We too have had our orangutans, our falsified education and ridiculous curricula, and this period lasted a long time. Not so long, however, as in the monkey's case, and above all, not at the same stage of evolution. The Dark Ages, which the chimpanzee deplored, had lasted about 10,000 years. During this period, no notable progress had been achieved, except, perhaps, during the last half century. But what I found extremely curious was that their earliest legends, their earliest chronicles, their earliest memories bore witness to a civilization that was already well advanced, and in fact was more or less similar to that of the present day. These documents, 10,000 years old, afforded the proof of general skills and achievements comparable to the skills and achievements of today. And before then, there was total obscurity. No tradition, either oral or written, not a single clue. To sum up, it looked as though the simian civilization had made a miraculous appearance out of the blue 10,000 years before, and had since been preserved more or less without modification. The ordinary monkey had grown accustomed to finding this quite natural, never imagining a different state of mental development. But a perceptive brain like Cornelius sensed an enigma there and was tormented by it. "There are monkeys capable of original creation," Zira protested. "Certainly," Cornelius agreed. "That's true, especially in recent years. In the long run, mind is able to embody itself in gesture. It has to, in fact, that's the natural course of evolution. But what I'm passionately seeking, Zira, what I'm trying to find out, is how it all began. At present, it strikes me as not impossible that it was through simple imitation at the beginning of our era." "Imitation of what? Of whom?"
He had reverted to his reticent manner and lowered his eyes, as though regretting he had said too much. "I can't answer that question yet," he finally said. "I need certain evidence. Perhaps we shall find it in the ruins of the buried city. According to the reports, it existed much earlier than 10,000 years ago, in a period about which we know nothing."